like a beer, but it's a non-alcoholic beer.
Yeah. That's why I picked the Nilly of the Week.
That's all you got to say about that.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Name, Image, Likeness podcast, the podcast dedicated to covering the NIL world. I'm Wheeler.
And I'm Chrissy, and we serve on the NIL team at VictoryFi. VictoryFi offers software built by Wheeler and our team that monitors NIL compliance in education. And we have that platform for student athletes to create merch, our Nilly platform. We love it. Our framework platform partners with athletic departments to teach student athletes how to manage money earned through NIL and how to navigate the NIL world. Our Nilly.io platform is the easiest way to NIL. It allows student athletes to build their own custom merchandise. So also check that out at NILLIE.io.
That's right. Check us out. Nilly.io, NILLIE.io. And Chrissy, you know, but for the audience, y'all need to know that we are the big winners today. We attended an event to benefit Hospice Savannah. It's an awesome organization here. They do some really amazing things, kind of alternative hospice care. They raise money for providing, you know, just ways to kind of feel humanity when people are not feeling their best, like through massages, television, reading books, just interaction, human to human stuff. It was really great learning about them. But on the side note, there was a silent auction and we won 4 steak dinners for a bid of $120. Like that's great.
I am so excited. I mean, we get very competitive, and also they had big pours at this event. And so, but we won and I can't wait to use it. You're going this week to go collect our big prize, but it truly was an awesome event. Not only are we big winners, but that organization, Hospice Savannah, is wonderful. And what they're doing there is specifically raising money, like you said, for the massage therapy and then also for music therapy. And we met the doctor who is leading that up and offering those services. It is so nice. And it's great to like bring a little bit of a humanity to these people that are suffering. And it was wonderful. It was an awesome event. And we're huge winners. I'm so excited. So I cannot wait to go eat at all these amazing places in Savannah. It will be wonderful.
You don't know this quite yet, but we have our... I was just saying, you don't know it yet, but we have our 4 dates already lined up for the rest of the year. So all 4 dates are going to be steak dinner, and it's on me. I promise. I'll pick up the tab.
You cannot use this prize as our dates. You cannot double dip.
Well, we'll figure that out. But first, let's get into the news and facts.
Let's do it. I can't wait. Actually, though, before we're in the news and facts, what are we talking about today, Wheeler?
Oh, yeah, duh. Okay. So in our main segment, we're actually going to be talking about the Collective Association. This is really interesting. It's popping up. It's a trade association that advocates for athletes, shares best practices, and shapes and develops the NIL market. Recently, as member collectives have increased, and we're taking notice. It's a cool collective of collectives. And so it's kind of meta in that way that now the collectives are all kind of advocating for each other and trying to, I will kind of get to the details, but yeah, they're bringing together resources that collectives need to provide to the athletes. So really cool seeing these schools hop aboard. Well, again, we'll touch on it later, but extremely interesting kind of developments that are occurring in the collective space.
Yes, I can't wait to talk about it. We're seeing, and as we'll jump in a bit about it, but just seeing the collectives that have joined, there are so many collectives out there. It seems like what they're trying to do is going to be pretty important and impactful. So excited about all that. But now, news and facts, let's go. Well, it seems like the Georgia High School Association may actually move forward with allowing NIL at the high school level. As y'all know, Wheeler and I have attended several of these meetings just to kind of wrap our heads around what's going on in our state. And I'm excited to see that things are progressing. Robin Hines, who is the executive director of GHSA, said that he will have a proposal ready for the association's executive committee meeting this fall, which hopefully we'll be attending. I believe it's in September. As of now, a total of 31 states, as well as Washington, D.C., do allow NIL activities on the high school level. But some of those real powerhouse states, like we all know, do not allow that yet. So that's like Georgia, Florida, Alabama, Texas, no NIL activity. And it seems like a lot of these other states are looking to what Georgia is going to do. So we shall see what is happening with that.
Awesome. Awesome. Good news. And yeah, I can't, we'll be obviously attending that event in December when that comes out. But it's just, you know, soon to be all 50 states. There's no way that this is being, you know, ever trending in the other direction. It's kind of the norm now. And some of these kind of powerhouse states, again, I think they used what other states did. They're looking at it. They're taking a note of what works, what doesn't. And they're pretty much going to use that to make their, you know, their comprehensive plan that makes sense. So pretty dang cool. And obviously, like, bring it on, Georgia. We want the state to succeed and, you know, let these people monetize their NIL. That's what it's all about. So that's cool. Great, great news and facts. This one's funny. So we're back at Life Wallet. All right. This is the company in Miami. Ruiz is the guy who was just, you know, he was funding Miami athletics for a while. And where was the money kind of coming from? Everybody was kind of questioning, right? Cause like there was a lot of dollars being poured to that Miami program for, you know, women's basketball, football, baseball, all that stuff, men's basketball. So now, breaking news, Cano Health has filed a lawsuit that alleges that Life Wallet owes the company roughly $67 million. It calls out Life Wallet for being a sham company and argues that the entity made misrepresentations when negotiating contracts. Cano Health has been countersued by Life Wallet and seeks for the dispute to be adjudicated in arbitration where it would be confidential. So we won't know what's going on, but you all may remember Life Wallet. Yeah, like I mentioned, entered NIL deals in the past. CEO John Ruiz, he's been in hot water with NIL lately. He is NIL's original bad boy.
Call back to our BFFR episode. You know, he is like the Cavender twins. He's all tied up in that. He's really involved in NIL. And this is really interesting. It's kind of nuts whenever, you know, you see a company crumble and then it's sad when you see the implications for other things they're involved with, you know, right? Life Wallet was not made for NIL, but Life Wallet is impacting these college athletes, you know, so that's very interesting.
It's also kind of cool. A throwback to what we were saying about deals with athletes, with companies that go out of business. We talked about like how, I mean, you know, these companies promise, you know, delivering of something, the athletes return, you know, monetary stuff's exchanged, but when the company is no longer paying the bucks, what do those deals do? And, you know, what do the long-term contracts look like and getting out of that? And do they deserve the money that they possibly didn't get? And can they countersue? It's going to be kind of interesting kind of seeing, you know, depending on what the bucks look like, if it's even worth that. But again, something we talked about and, you know, we're seeing it play out right before our eyes. That's really cool.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. So let's get into the main segment. It's kind of partly news and facts as well. Let's talk about the Collective Association, or TCA is the nickname. There are 7 founding collectives. They're Classic City Collective. Also, call back when we interviewed Matt Hibbs last year when we attended one of their events when they were in Savannah. Spire Sports for the University of Tennessee, the Grove Collective, Old Miss, the Battle's End at Florida State, House of Victory, University of Southern California, Champions Circle, Michigan. We talked about them last week, how they're now officially the endorsed collective of Michigan's athletic department, and Happy Valley United at Penn State are those founding collectives. But now we have learned that 10 more collectives have joined them. So we have 17 out of, you know, over 100. So it's not everyone, but, you know, let's kind of talk about the people that have joined before we jump into what's going on and kind of our thoughts on that. So Wheeler, who else just joined? Who are the 10 new people?
Yeah, absolutely. So joining that core group of collectives in the TCA, there is the Wildcat NIL collective that's out of Kansas State. They have the Garnet Trust. Shout out to them. We've had them on the podcast in the past. Mass State Collective, that's Kansas. We have 1870 Society, that is the Ohio State University. The 5430 Foundation, University of Colorado. Desert Takeover Collective, that's University of Arizona. Every True Tiger, that's Mizzou. The Royal Blue BYU Collective, Sun Angel Collective out of Arizona State, and one of the best names, the 502 Circle, Louisville. So a lot of powerhouse collectives. The main ones primarily for these, you know, colleges are all joining the TCA, the TICA.
The TICA.
The TICA.
Yeah. No, so this group, yeah, TICA, I like it. This group, if y'all are listening and you're like, what is this? I have a collective and I haven't heard of this. They just formed in July, so like a month ago. It formed over the summer, and they're going to provide resources to member collectives, like explaining, you know, as we've discussed before in the podcast, like the super vague letters the NCAA is putting out. The TCA also, or the TICA, also plans to release a revenue sharing model for college athletes that does not require them to become university employees in the coming weeks, which I find interesting. And I read an article saying that representatives from TCA say that a lot of their collectives have been speaking with their athletes, and their athletes are uninterested in being considered employees of their schools. So that's kind of, I know we've had a lot of talk on that as well in the past. So very interesting. They seem to be like hand in hand with the NCAA. So I know we looked at an article. Do you want to kind of tell a couple things we found from that, Wheeler?
Yeah, for sure. So we read this article. It stated that the group TCA plans to have meetings with the NCAA president, Charlie Baker. It also said that the collective association was founded on three pillars. And here we go. We have first pillar is to serve as a voice for athletes and their best interests. And second pillar is to provide a forum for collectives to discuss current NIL issues and share best practices. And the final pillar is to provide a unified voice for collectives to leverage their position. So kind of daunting, kind of, they're definitely ingraining themselves in the future. You know, putting yourself like this out there and only strengthening yourself. I mean, they're planning on being there a long time, right? What do you think about this, Chrissy?
Well, I mean, one thing we're seeing is there are so many people. We talk to a lot of collectives, you know, whether it's for the podcast, for NILI Framework, we're more working directly with the athletic programs. But with the podcast and with NILI, we speak to a lot of people from collectives. And there are some collectives that have a whole staff, but there's a ton of collectives, and it is run by one person. Like one guy, one lady, and they're just super passionate and they want to make this happen. But it is an individual out there on an island. And I feel like the more resources that are available for everyone at all schools, the better. So also, if they are like really kind of schmoozing it up with the NCAA, why not, right? Like that could make it easier. One, just to understand what the NCAA is looking for so we can make sure we're following the rules. And then also kind of as the NCAA is coming out with new guidance, maybe that can be a little bit influential in what they're saying. So I am absolutely pro this group. I think it's a really cool idea. You know, we'll see how it plays out, but the collectives, like those founding seven, I know for a fact, most of them like have a pretty strong staff. Like we talked about Matt Hibbs, like I know he's got like full-time attention on this and he's got some help. So like these are the people that might be able to really make a difference. So I like it. What do you think?
Yeah, definitely. I think it's interesting that so there are a lot of just kind of, you know, collectives that are heart, love for the school driven, but these major collectives are not those. These are all fully funded, well-oiled machine right here. They have experience, they have members, they have a lot of power behind them. I'm actually really intrigued to see if there's some kind of a, you know, who can join the TCA. I mean, can those smaller collectives out there that want these resources, if they can join in, are they allowed to, just like these other members joined? Is it easy to do so? I'm kind of curious to see what that process looks like, because if this truly is something that all collectives can join to get this, you know, the three pillars are great. If they can get this information out there, I think that, yeah, that's a positive. And there needs to be those, that information source, and they need to have those conversations, because if you kind of look at it, they're all doing the same thing. They're, you know, trying to serve their athletes. And obviously they're trying to, you know, one up each other in that they want the best athletes for their school, but in the same boat, like you're doing the same deals, you're doing the same compliance, you know, now you're dealing with NCAA. It's just, I'm curious to see how well they play with others and, you know, what the sizes of those collectives look like. And most likely they're going to bring them on board, but what do you think? I'm kind of intrigued by that.
I don't know. I think that's a great point. Like, is this going to help everyone, or is it going to create like a hierarchy where all of these powerhouse schools, like we got Georgia, Ohio State, like these are really powerful schools with a lot of backing. And are we just again separating these schools from everyone else? You know, like, one, are they doing that? But then at the same time, if they are doing that, wouldn't that still benefit everyone? Because they're going to set the tone. They're the ones who are going to push the boundaries of NIL because they've got the biggest money, the biggest opportunities, and maybe that will benefit everyone regardless. You know, I did notice Alabama is not in there. Yay, Alabama, where are you? But, you know, so anyway, very interesting. I don't know. It's a good question.
It seems like the resources that they're going to, whatever they come up with, I mean, it's kind of like their own IP. It's their brains coming together. But this is stuff that the NCAA should be publishing, you know, to everybody. The fact that, if anything, if it gets NCAA to create something and that goes public and it's easily accessible, like, mission accomplished. Because NCAA isn't doing really much at all as far as providing guidance for collectives. So this might be the fire that kind of gets that going. And, you know, just because, I just hope it's out in the public so we can see it, so that everybody can share it, look at it, read about it. And I hope it doesn't just stay inside of here, so that different people have different rules and guidelines, and that makes things more confusing. You know, the whole point of the NCAA is to provide the governing body for all these member institutions, and giving this really, really important information that's changing the landscape of a lot of college sports just to certain groups seems not what you should be doing, right? I feel like you should be putting guidance out for all. So interesting to see how it works again. Yeah, I agree. I hope that, like you mentioned, that anybody has a shot to go at it. So, but cool. It's the next step, right? I mean, it's starting to see the consolidation already, and big schools, you know, you had four or five collectives. Now you have one major one for each university. And I think that's kind of where we're going to end up.
Is this also, or alternatively, are we creating a football mafia where they're just like entwined with the NCAA police, and like, you know, Matt Hibbs, big boss, running.
Hibbs is a made man.
But no, I don't know. Very, very cool. Interesting. If anyone out there is listening, and I know we have listeners at these collectives, so I'd love to hear from y'all, like what you think. That would be really, we're just reading about it. And I've been like following along. Also, if anyone's interested, Darren Heitner does a pretty good summary of everything. And y'all know he gets into all the laws and all that stuff. But I would love to hear from someone within here about, you know, what it's like and maybe what they're hoping to provide while it's just started. It would be nice to kind of see where it's going. So I'd love to hear from someone. If y'all are, please email me, Christine@victoryfi.com would be amazing. And I just want to hear about it. But yeah. Okay, Wheeler, I love any your, other thoughts on this, or should we get to the
Yeah, news? Just real quick. I love your mafia comment. I'm just picturing just somebody waking up with like a Boise State Bronco head in their bed, just sending a message to like, don't mess with the ticker. You, it's just, the mafia is real. It is coming for college sports. That's funny.
This is like a definite ESPN commercial, like one of those old ESPN commercials.
Yeah. Don't you see it? That would be too funny.
I can visualize everything.
But yeah, we'll keep our We'll keep our ears head is to the ground and yes, yeah, there's plenty of skits that can be made from that. So before we get off derail too bad, as we typically do, do you want to knock out your favorite Nilly of the week?
I would absolutely love to. So mine, and I've done this before, and every time I see Weigel's involved in anything, because it was my favorite gas station growing up, this is where they used to have, and I've told this again before, and I'll say it again, Weigel's used to have on Inskip Road in Knoxville, Tennessee, Weigel's used to have a drive-through milk, and you would bring your own milk jug and they'd fill it up and then you'd leave. So cool. I love Weigel's. I would go there every day. Also, like before soccer practice for snacks. It's like a gas station, convenience store, everything. But Weigel's has partnered with another UT athlete and his name is Squirrel White, which I also love. So Squirrel White has signed a deal with Weigel's, and as part of the campaign, each time he scores a touchdown this year, fans pick up a six-pack of Coca-Cola at a local Weigel's, which is really cool. They have to have a My Weigel's Rewards account, which who doesn't have that if you live in the area? So I absolutely love that. That is super neat. And I just love Weigel's and his name. So that's my Nilly, and I love it.
I'm surprised they're not drinking Mountain Dew, you know? Is that a Coke product? Okay, it's any Coca-Cola product, right? It's not just... You're right. You're right. That is totally different.
Yeah,
state.
It's any Coca-Cola product. I guess it's just not like a Coke. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah,
cool.
We're not. That's Kentucky actually get out of here.
That's cool, and I bet he scores a lot. Tennessee's looking like they're going to have a great season this year. So, lots of Coke fans out there for the Vols. Pretty cool.
Okay, what about you? What's your Nilly?
Well. I thought you'd never ask. So this is a fun one. The Texas Longhorns offensive line is part of a brand new NIL deal with the Athletic Brewing Makers. It's a non-alcoholic beer and a sparkling hop water. This is a cool deal, and I just, you know, hope they got paid in money and not kind, because I think, you know, those Texas Longhorn offensive linemen could crush many of non-alcoholic beer and drive them out of business. So hopefully they just decided to give them the money and not the product. And I just thought it was funny, just a bunch of office linemen drinking non-alcoholic beer. It's pre-game ritual.
Well, and you know, it's such a funny way to like get around the no alcohol endorsement thing, you know, like a beer, but it's a non-alcoholic beer.
Yeah. That's why I picked the Nilly of the Week.
That's all you got to say about that. But yeah, okay, let's wrap this thing up.
All right, everybody, thank you so much for listening today. If you'd like to learn more about Victify's platform, visit nilly.io. And if you just want to learn more about some of our platforms, like our framework compliance platform or our financial literacy courses, we have all that information and more at our main website, victify.com. And if you'd like to learn more about our favorite recent Nillys across the country, follow us on social media.
We post a new Nilly daily. You can follow us on Instagram at Name Image Likeness Podcast or on Twitter at VictoryFi NIL. Or if you want to on one place, you can follow our drift. You can also rate and review the podcast. We would love it. But thank y'all so much. We'll see you next week.
Take care, y'all.
Name Image Likeness is part of the Palm Tree Podco network of podcasts. The show is produced and edited by Anthony Palmer. Thanks to the team at VictoryFi for creating the content for this week's episode.